verse 11 of Matthew 3. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In this one verse, there are many important truths to be investigated. But as we think of this verse, we have within this verse some questions to ask yourself. As you ask yourself these questions, they can make you a better servant of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. The first question we can see from this text is the question, what do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself? John the Baptist, when he came, he was spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke of his coming. This is what he said about Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not worthy to even untie his shoe. I'm not worthy to do what in that culture was considered the basest of and lowest of all duties. Of course, most roads were dirt. They wore sandals. And people's feet got dirty. And the lowest menial task would be to take someone's shoes off. And Jesus said of himself, he says, I'm not worthy even to bow down and get my hands dirty and take off the shoes of Jesus. What do you think of yourself? That's an important question. What do you think of yourself? As you look at the Bible, you sense that people who God used they had a similar view of themselves. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Here is the Apostle Paul. And certainly from... there's interesting because we read the passage this morning where Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets and that there was not to that point one that was born of women
that was greater than him. And yet John Baptist says, I'm not worthy even to untie a shoe. Most people would agree that the greatest Christian man ever lived was the Apostle Paul. Now look at what the Apostle Paul says about himself. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9. And he's talking about the resurrection. But he says this. He says, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles. That I'm not meet, that's that word worthy, that I'm not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. He says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. In 1 Timothy, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That's what he thought about himself. He thought of himself as the worst of all sinners. Interesting. We see a parallel, don't we? What a person thinks about themselves certainly has a parallel as to what kind of servant of Jesus Christ they will be. As you turn to Luke chapter 7, we read this passage this morning. And this is talking about people who think rightly, who think and reason correctly. I'm afraid that we live in a day in which a lot of people don't think rightly. They don't reason correctly. But as you read this passage of Scripture, the Bible is telling us how people act who think correctly. And we have in this passage of Scripture, in Luke 7 that we read this morning, this great sinner, this woman who was a great sinner, and she found out that Jesus was in Simon's house. And she brought this very, very expensive box of alabaster. And the Bible says, and she wept and washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, and wiped his feet with her hair, and poured and kissed his feet, and poured and anointed his feet with this box, this alabaster, very expensive ointment. And Simon, oh man, this is terrible. And the Lord explained what was happening. And of course he said, he says, I'll explain it to you, Simon. He says, there's a creditor. And there's two people who owed him money. One owed him 500 pence. Now, a day's wage. How much you make in a day? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just say, you know, $80 a day, can't hardly live on $10 an hour. But if that, well, let's just play conservative. Day's wage, and if you make $10 an hour, you probably got to work 10 hours a day minimum. So let's say $100 a day. And in the Bible time, a day's wage was one penny. So one man owed his creditor 500 pence. Well, what's 500 times 100? 50,000, right? $50,000. Am I thinking right? Or is that 5,000? Let me write it down. 100 times 50. It's 5 with 3 zeros. $5,000. Okay. Owed him 5,000. One owed him what? one owed him 50 pence. Okay, that's 5,000. The other guy owed him 500. Okay, $50,000 versus $5,000. Quite a bit of difference, right? So if you owed someone $50,000, that's a bunch. Okay, so two people owed this man this amount of money, and he forgave him. He said, forget it. You don't have to pay me back. And Jesus asked the question, now which person is going to love him the most? And Simon says, well, of course, the person that he forgave him the most. And what was he saying? Saying, this woman is kissing my feet, washing my feet, putting this expensive oil on me, and loves me for saving her soul. Why? She's been a great sinner, and she's been forgiven. And he says, Simon, you didn't do any of that. And you're a Pharisee. That's because you were, you know, you never did any big sins. And so you never kissed my feet. You never anointed my head with oil. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't put any anointing on me, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, Simon, you know why? Because you're the guy that got forgiven just a few sins. But this woman, who was a big sinner, she got forgiven many sins. Now, what did Jesus say? Now, wouldn't it be great if that's really how it worked? But you know, that's how it's supposed to work. That's what he's saying. People who think right, who think rightly, they have the right opinion about themselves. This woman said, you know what? I'm a great sinner. I deserve to go to hell and the deepest pit of hell. That's where I deserve to go. And I've been forgiven. The very least I can do is to serve Jesus Christ. And so she served him. The Apostle Paul, he said, you know what? I put Christians in jail and I killed them. And I delighted in doing it. There isn't anybody that's more depraved than that. And God saved me. Not only God saved me, but he made me apostle. He says, I don't deserve anything. I deserve this. I deserve to serve God. I don't deserve to be an apostle. And so what does he say? He says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, having the right opinion of ourselves makes all the difference. You know, there's a lot of people that are big sinners, but they don't think they're very big sinners. They have a wrong opinion of themselves. And now let's go to the opposite. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And look at somebody else about the opinion that they have about themselves. That's not the right verse. My friend is here. Dave Buda. Okay. He's got his computer with me. Here's the verse. It's harder for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What's the verse? Okay. You got it right at your fingertips there. I know you do. You're not going to get it? Well, we'll wait. Okay, I'll tell you, I talked about while he's getting the verse for us, so that somehow I didn't copy it down right. Okay, what's the problem with the rich man? Why is it hard for a rich man to get saved?
1924.
Matthew 19:24. Thank you, sir. Okay. Matthew 19:24, and again I say, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, do you know how rich men think? This is how rich men think. They think, man, I'm smart. I'm smart. You know, I know how to save money. I know how to make money. I got brains. I'm a rich man. And you know, I don't want Jesus Christ. I don't want salvation because he wants my money. Now, if you think about what he's saying, what does he think about himself? Why doesn't a rich man, can't hardly a rich man get saved? How come rich men don't serve God? You know why? They have a much higher opinion of themselves than they should. They think they're doing God a favor by getting saved. They think that God has to bow down and reach for them because they're so great. And he needs their money. No way. God doesn't need any money, anybody's money, does he? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Rich men can't serve God. And most rich men don't serve God and obey God the way they're supposed to because they have a wrong opinion about themselves. Now turn to Luke chapter 18. Here's a religious man. Okay? Here's a religious man. And this religious man doesn't get saved. He isn't saved. Jesus tells a parable, Luke 18:19. He spake a parable of certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a wicked tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, notice what it says. He stood and he prayed with himself. You can almost see him, can't you? God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner, unjust, I'm not an adulterer. I always, pay my bill complete. I'm not like this publican crook. I fast, I give tithes. And then the Bible says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up as much as his eyes. He couldn't even look up. He's ashamed of himself. He wouldn't look up. And the Bible says he smote his breast. He saw what a great sinner he was. And he kept saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now what did Jesus say? Verse 14, I tell you that this man, the publican, went down to his house justified. That means he got saved. Rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And so what did the rich man think about himself? What did the Pharisee think about himself? Pharisee says, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm not such a sinner. I don't need to repent of my sins. I don't need to turn from my sins. I'm pretty good. That's what his opinion of himself was. And the rich man had this opinion about himself. So he asked the question, what do you think about yourself? What do you think about yourself? Do you think that... you see, I guess you might say it's all about pride, isn't it? The person who is full of pride, he's too good for God. I'm not going to waste my life reading the Bible. I'm not going to waste my life going to church. I'm not going to waste my time. Forget it. I'm going to give my time to God. Give my life to God. Obey the Bible. Notice his opinion about our opinion about ourselves. John was a great servant of God because he said, you know what? I don't even deserve to untie a shoe. I don't even deserve to untie a shoe. Now think about, young person. You know, you're a sinner just like me. And because you're a sinner, you know what your old sinful nature says? Your sinful nature says, hey, I'm not going to serve God. Why should I serve God? I want to live my own life. Exactly. Exactly. What do you think about yourself? Second question. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ? That's a good question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 5. John the Baptist says, there's come one after me mightier than I. And he is so much more mighty than I. I merely baptize with water, but this man, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Notice what it says in Revelation 5. Verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Ooh, that's a lot. Millions. Angels in heaven. And what are they doing? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the Son of God who left heaven to die on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Of course, the choir sang the Messiah, these words ringing in your ears. Thou art worthy. It's right thinking, isn't it? They're thinking rightly about Jesus Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say about Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, Apostle Paul, this is his testimony. And he's saying that as a Jew, he was one of the top tier of Jewish people. In Jewish society, he was at the top rung. But what does he say? He says about himself, but the things which were gained to me, all the things that the world says was important, he says, I counted those but loss for Christ. He says, verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, oh man, Jesus Christ. To know Him, that is the greatest thing in all the world. All these accomplishments of the world, I count them but manure, waste, worthless, in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He said, I've lost everything. By serving Jesus Christ, he said, I've lost everything in this world. All the applause of the world, all the echelons of awards of the world, I've lost all my money, I've lost everything. He says, but you know, that's nothing. For the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. The question is, what do we think of Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ? Remember, we're living in a world that uses the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word. That's what the world thinks of Jesus Christ. But what do you think of Jesus Christ? Are you like that rich man who thinks, well, you know, I'm just doing God a favor by getting saved. I'm doing God a favor by getting saved. He really needs me. But here we find this parallel. John the Baptist. He says, boy, he is so great. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. Here's the Apostle Paul. He says, he is so great. He says, it's worth to lose everything in this world. And everything that this world offers is like manure in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. That's what his opinion was of Christ once. We go through and we see the angels in heaven. They say, thou art worthy. Forever and ever will we be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Lifting Him up. And so, we see a very important question. I was thinking about this one hymn that I like. I have found a friend in Jesus. And I think of the chorus. He said, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. In Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. And then the chorus is, He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Ask the question, what do you think that hymn writer thought about Jesus? He's a lily of the valley. He's beautiful. Wonderful. He's the fairest of 10,000. I've told the story before, but in the 1700s, There's a group of people called the Moravians. I think it was August 3rd, 1741. Might have the date wrong. A revival started among the Moravians that lasted for 100 years. And in that process of time, the Moravians in that little church in Germany sent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples and people throughout all the world to preach the gospel. And there were thousands more people associated to the Moravians across the world than there were in that little town, because they all gone out to be missionaries. And there was two young men in that church that found out about an island that was owned by a man, and on this island, this rich man had thousands of slaves. And these two young Moravian men in their 20s, they were greatly burdened for these thousands of slaves that were going to die and go to hell. He says, you know, these people never heard the gospel. They're going to die. They're going to go to hell. And he says, but there's no way that we can, they won't allow anybody on the island. The only way you can get on the island is by being a slave bought by this man. And so they went to the slave market. And they presented themselves to be slaves, to be bought by this man. To be forever a slave. Never to be set free. Probably to be beaten. Probably to live in abject poverty. And so they went to the slave market. They sold themselves a slave. They were bought by this rich man. They got on the ship to go to this island far away. And as they left the shores of Germany, as they left the shores at the port, they looked back at their friends. And they shouted, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." They counted it a privilege to give their life for Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? That's a great question. What we think of Christ is a direct revelation of how we will live for Him. It's a direct revelation of how much we will serve Him or how little we will serve Him. A startling fact. A fact that reveals our heart, which we don't like to be known. But the fact is, they will love Him the most, whom have considered Him to have forgiven them the most. What is your opinion of Christ? The third question is, what is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? John chapter 3 and verse 30. John chapter 3 and verse 30. And the context is this. Verse 22, and after these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them, and they were baptized. And John also was baptizing in Ainon near Salem, because there was much water there. Yeah, That's right. There's much water there. Archaeological inference. Yeah, baptism by immersion. Much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, that's Jesus, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. They're saying, hey, John, don't you see what's happening? This Jesus, now he's baptizing. And all men are going to him and not to you. Your crowd's getting smaller. And Jesus' crowd's getting bigger. Aren't you concerned about that? John answered, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. What was he saying? The purpose of my ministry is to introduce the Messiah. My purpose is to introduce people to Him. That's my purpose. My purpose isn't life for people to follow me. My purpose in life is for people to follow Him. And he says, he must increase, and I must decrease. My purpose was to introduce him. And now that he's here, my job is to just get further and further out of the picture. Because my job is to point people to him and to follow him. It's not my purpose to become great. It's my purpose to make him great. It's no problem that I've become now insignificant and unknown, because I came to lift him up. And so he asked the question, what is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? John had the right handle on it, didn't he? What does the Apostle Paul say our purpose in life is? The Apostle Paul, what does he say? Ephesians chapter 1. He said that we have a purpose for being saved. The Bible says, he said, verse 12 of Ephesians 1, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We're to bring praise to God. That's the great question. What's our purpose in life? Many people escape it, don't they? Many people have never got it put together. But John said, my purpose is that he would increase and that I would decrease. I'm not alarmed at this. This is exactly why I came. I merely came to introduce him. I merely came to get the people ready for him. I merely came to bring the people to repentance and to salvation so that they could be a part of the kingdom when the king comes. I'm merely introducing him. I'm not the main thing. He is. You know, I don't know if you thought about this. Maybe I'm all wrong. But I was listening to the inauguration. And I thought it was kind of strange that the Supreme Court Justice gives this big, long speech of what she's doing. And that she's inaugurated 5 governors and blah, blah, blah. And I said to myself, you know, that's not her job. It's not her job to tell us how great she is. Her job is to inaugurate and to swear in the governor. He's the main thing. You know, what do you think about some guy coming up, you know, and they're supposed to introduce somebody. You know, and then they go on and on and on and on, you know, in this introduction. And really, you know, they're just kind of lifting themselves up. Well, that's not what they're supposed to do, right? They're supposed to just introduce the person. They're not supposed to be the main show. But you know, sometimes our sinful flesh and the devil can kind of get us all mixed up as though, hey, we're the main show. No, we're not the main show. Jesus Christ is. That's our purpose in life. There's a world out there that the most of them, if they died right now, would go right to hell. Our job is to introduce the main thing, Jesus Christ. We can get sidetracked. We can get sidetracked in life. And you know, that's what they're saying to John the Baptist, right? Hey, aren't you all mad at this? Man, aren't you upset? Look at all the people following Jesus. Oh, man! And you're getting less and less. Man, you better get moving, John. You're losing out. He said, oh, that's exactly right. That's what I want. I came to make him the main thing. What is our purpose in life? Well, you know, the world tells young people, oh, you're number one. Believe in yourself. No, I don't want to believe in myself. I'm a sinner. But there's somebody that's worth believing in, amen? And there's somebody that's worth serving. And he'll never let us down. Very simple. As we look at John the Baptist, we can see that he answered these 3 questions properly. These 3 questions, they had the right answer. And that's why Jesus said that he was to that date, he was the greatest man that had ever been born of women. He had a special job. You know, not many people could have handled that job. The forerunner of the Christ. 3 questions to ask yourself that have to do about what kind of servant of Jesus Christ you are or will be. Number 1, what do you think of yourself? John said, I'm not even worthy. Unloose his shoe. We need to think about that when we say no to God. We ought to think about that when we say, hey, I'm not giving my time for God. We ought to think about that when there's something comes in the Bible that kind of steps on our toes. And you know, for everybody, there is something that brings us to the great question, isn't it? We ought to ask ourselves, what do we think about ourselves? when we say, God, nope, you're not being my Lord. That tells us we don't think right about ourselves, right? And of course, the second question, what do you think of Christ? Oh, there's one coming mightier than I. There's one coming mightier than I. He is so great. What do you think of Christ? The third question, what is your purpose in life? He said, my purpose is that he would increase and I would decrease. Three great questions that reveal the heart of a servant of God and that are challenged to both you and I about what kind of servant will we be for Jesus Christ? What kind of servant will we be for Jesus Christ? Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning. Maybe the Spirit of God is knocking on our door. Maybe he's trying to knock a little pride out of us. Maybe he's trying to show us that we got something from Adam that wasn't too good. It's pride. Maybe he's trying to show us that we don't think high enough of Jesus Christ. Somehow, he's not high enough in our mind. Maybe we think of him maybe like the Greeks thought of God as some kind of glorified human being. That's not a right picture of God, is it? Maybe we need to analyze what our purpose in life is. And each one of us should say with John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. Each one of us should be able to say that. Pray that. And see, our purpose in life is to serve him and lift him up. Because you know what? That's what we're going to be doing for millions of years in heaven. Amen. Saying, thou art worthy, O Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the life of a man of God, where we can put in living terms, we can see a life as revealed in the Bible, a man who was a servant of God, a man whose life counted, didn't count much on this earth, didn't count much before wicked men, but it counted before God. And Lord, we do need to investigate our own hearts. Lord, we know we are sinners. We know we think far too much of ourselves. Lord, pride is such a problem. Lord, we know we think so little, far less of Christ than we ought to. Somehow, his glory and his greatness needs to sweep our heart so that we become like this woman who loved Jesus so very much, because she understood how much he had forgiven her. Lord, help us to see really what our purpose in life. Our purpose is to be a vessel. Our purpose is to be a workman. Our purpose is to do the work, because we know only God gives increase. Might we see ourselves as we ought to. Might we give our lives to serve you. For that's the only thing that will make life meaningful. That is our purpose, to bring glory to your Son. May it be so, Lord. While heads are bowed and eyes closed, today the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, pricking at your soul. Maybe He's revealed some of the things, some of the thoughts that we have that have kept you from putting Jesus Christ first in your life. Instead of being sold out for the Lord, you got a foot and a half in the world. God's showing you that our thinking is wrong. We don't think correctly about ourselves. We don't think of ourselves as sinners, forgiven by the grace of God. We don't think enough of Christ. We'd all be on the way to hell without Him. And yet, not only did He save us, but He loved us. We need to rethink our purpose in life. It's not what the world says. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to, He saved us to serve Him, to bring glory to Him. Spirit of God has kind of opened your heart to an attitude or a thought that has kept you from serving Christ rightly. And the Spirit of God is, perhaps on the other hand, has said, you know, this is the answer. This is what it takes to really serve God effectively. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? Jesus Christ really did save me from a wicked life. I need to dedicate myself to Him. I need to say to Jesus Christ, you're worthy of my service. You're worthy of my worship. You're worthy of my work for you. You're far greater than I could ever imagine. I'm a sinner saved by your mercy. You say, I want to dedicate my life, Lord Jesus, to serve you. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to dedicate my life to serve you. There's nothing more important in life than to serve you and to do your will. To tell others about Jesus Christ. To live a righteous, holy life that will rightly portray the God of the Bible. My purpose is to lift you up and to glorify you in my life. And you say this morning, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. And I want to dedicate my life to serve Jesus Christ. God has shown me what right thinking is about myself and about Christ and my purpose. And you say this morning, as we contemplate this, and as I give the question, it kind of hits home. You say, yep, that's what God's doing.